Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
Hi, and I'm Aaron Flores. And we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way, even if you have to record it twice.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication, and the internet, etc. Send us your input. Email us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com or telephone us at 503-847-9774.
There we go. Thank you so much, Mr. Flores, for doing the intro with me. I appreciate that. You are playing co-host wonderfully.
Thank you.
And we even had a chance to break you in. So this is the second time we've tried to record this episode. It's basically just because the computer is old and tired. So here we are. Also in the room, Adele Dittus, my lovely and beautiful wife.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm here in my basement.
That's right.
It's great to be talking again.
It's the first time in a long time that you've actually been like in your own living space when we've been recording the show. So
yeah, usually I'm just wire. Now I'm talking. No, I mean, usually people come and talk and I give them cookies and like nice stuff like that and smiles.
That's right.
Usually, not hugs, but like smiles.
That is correct.
You know.
Yeah. So anyways, here we are again.
Here we are.
And you know, it's actually a good thing that we're recording this again because now we have the intro music behind us the whole time. The first time it stopped just because the disc apparently was slow. So here we are. We're going to be talking a little bit about the trip that we took down to Crater Lake together as what we called Team Sincerity.
Team Sincerity!
Team Sincerity!
So we will outline that real quick. But first off, what are we drinking? And we've drunken more of it, I think, now since the first time
we tried. I'm a little farther along than I anticipated to be because this is our second take.
Right.
I am now halfway through my warm can of Game Day Premium Brewed Iced Beer, which kind of tastes like a mix between Keystone Light and Stack.
That's
I'd
right.
like to say.
Mm-hmm.
So Stack doesn't really bring up good memories for me, but I'm being game for game day, and I'm plowing through, and it's making me good.
You're being
feel
a,
good.
A good
I mean.
Sport for game day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow, here we are. Let's see. I just want to make sure we cover all the things. We're drinking that crappy beer. Aaron, you don't drink, so you're drinking root beer?
I am drinking a Henry Reinhardt's root beer, which is the best of the sweet root beers.
It is very good. Yeah, as opposed to the spicy root
beers. Yeah, sort of the more spicy, sarsaparilla-y type of bittersweet,
there we
I
go.
Guess, root beers.
Yeah, and I think Weinhardt's is definitely better than Kemper. That's my opinion.
Is it more accessible than the other root beers?
It is indeed.
Yes. And, well, when you can get it at the local Checkers Mart.
Oh, yeah, that would be
that
the
makes it accessible.
Sincere
That's
definition
right.
of accessible.
And I have on my notes from last time that I was trying to pigeonhole you. I'm not trying to pigeonhole you, Aaron. You sir, can be whatever you want to be in this great big world of ours.
Thank you.
So.
Say what he is again. What exactly is Aaron Flores?
And Adele just fell over. Oh, we're not stopping the tape for this one. This is too good.
No, this is good.
Can you set yourself back up there,
How
okay?
did that happen?
Just, leaning too far back, I guess.
No,
it's all good. Well, while she's out of the room,
yeah.
Aaron, why don't you tell us? We're getting to all this stuff so much quicker the second time around.
Yeah.
why don't you tell us about the origins of Team Sincerity?
Well, Team Sincerity sort of started with me associating you, Brock, but especially with the quote-unquote new sincerity movement, which really is just regular sincerity.
Right.
But it's sort of appreciating things because they're good, appreciating things sincerely.
It's new because it's back again.
Right. Yeah, right. Like,
right,
it's kind of hard to understand here in Portland, but, people don't always appreciate things ironically.
Indeed.
And there's sort of this movement of people who do appreciate things sincerely. I would say you are definitely a prime example of that.
Well, thank you. I do my best.
And you two being the most sincere people I would say I associate with regularly anyway. So in my head, the first day was sort of calling us like Team Sincerity and as I would text people little updates here and there, like that's what I would refer to us as, is like, oh, Team Sincerity is now at this church. Brock is rolling his cigarette and, you know, I'm swearing like a sailor.
That's right. Profaning the holy. Right. The first chance we got.
Right. You know, little updates like that.
Which I guess is actually not super sincere, but I mean, yeah, that's beside
well,
the point.
We're being sincere to ourselves, I guess.
We're being exactly who we are.
There's many forms of sincerity.
Quite so.
Right. So, yeah.
Welcome back, Adele.
Hey, thanks.
You got your
I'm
chairs.
Now perched she's elegantly on the edge of my chair rather than rolling backwards.
There we go. You got to watch out for these things, yeah.
Yeah, they're tricky.
Well, that's the one with that chair has the arm that's kind of wobbling.
Yeah, I felt like I was just sitting back and suddenly it just rolled out from under me and there I was.
All behind us now. You're still with us. You didn't get hurt. The beer won't leave a stain on the rug. So.
Yay.
Hurrah.
And if it does, you're cleaning the carpet soon.
If it does, yeah, we're moving upstairs. So
that's right.
Brandon and Candace can deal with this mess.
Speaking of Brandon and Candace, we didn't say that yet on this take, but Brandon is not with us playing co-host tonight. I mean, he's not just playing co-host. He is the co-host most times. But he is over with a neighbor playing Settlers of Catan. And that's all in the name of building community and sharing good times with neighbors. So hurrah, Brandon.
Actually,
we hope you win. Yeah.
Settlers of Catan actually makes people really angry.
That's
so
right.
So I'm curious to see how much community is built tonight when he comes home.
You got beaten by your little 10-year-old sister.
I did. Julia just like kicked my butt the other day.
Right.
Yeah, but I've been beaten before, so I wasn't too angry. But she's 10. But she's also like the most scheming, devious mind of all 9 of my siblings. 10, whatever, how many siblings I have. A lot. She's very clever.
It's hard to keep track of how many Gale Box there are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyhow. So, Settlers of Catan. Brandon, we wish you well. We hope you do well. This is Labor Day. I almost forgot to mention that. Labor Day. We're actually pre-taping. I mean, it's not Labor Day here in the studio right now, but we're taping this to be broadcast on Labor Day since we will be out and we won't be we're going to be having a good time and not working.
Not
sincerely
laboring.
Not working, in irony.
Thank you, Eugene and Debs.
We'll be laboring to be people in your sister's wedding.
That's right. Yeah. My sister's getting married, so we're heading up to be a part of that whole shindig. So anyhow, happy Labor Day, and we hope it's a good one for you. So the Crater Lake trip of 2011.
Let's get on to the boring
stuff.
Speaking
of hard work.
That's right. Well, we put this thing together. It was you and I, Adele, said that we should do something on your week off, because you only have 1 week off this summer, one full week off.
Yeah.
And it was your only chance to do a big badass bicycling tour. Mm-hmm. And so we said, hey, let's bike from Portland to Crater Lake, because that's like the north part of the state to the south part of the state. And so I started making some maps. I was talking with my friend Adam Rust, who he and his family, his wife Jody and his two kids, they've been on the show before. And I don't remember which episode that was, but they are a car-free family, or a low-car family, I guess. They rent when they don't own a car. But they do most of their getting around town on bicycle, and they are fantastic bicyclists. They've done some long-distance stuff before, but this was going to be the first time they did a long tour with the family. So so they signed on, and then Aaron, you said, hey, this sounds like a good time.
I needed a good bike ride.
Right. This is this is your idea of a good time.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Masochism at its
although, fun. Aaron, had you known what we were in for, do you think you would have gone? Would you have signed up for it if you had known, like, what was going to happen on this trip? Because it's pretty eventful.
Right. If someone had said to me, like, you know, on day 4, you're going to spend all your day pushing a bike up a giant gravel hill.
Yeah, mountain. And then you'll
mountain.
Get the flu at the end and have to pull through a whole family with the flu.
Oh, spoiler alert, folks.
Right. And we'll get to that because it's a good story.
Yeah, well, but had anybody told me that, I probably would have done it anyway.
You still would have done it.
It was amazing.
Good for you.
It was awesome. Yeah.
It was the best tour ever.
Best tour ever, thus fitting into the Team Sincerity slogan.
That's right.
Best day ever.
Yeah. So, it was the first week of August, first full week, and we left on
Saturday.
We actually left on July 30th, I think.
Yeah, we did. End of the July, a Saturday morning.
That's right. So we listened to, we were saying, the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club's song Ain't No Easy Way Out, which actually became a portend for things to come. It perhaps
so pretentious.
Yeah,
you wouldn't believe.
Do you think that's like the butterfly effect, where because we played that song, so many things seem to be more difficult farther down the line?
Well, I mean, a lot of the beginning stops were already planned. You know,
that's true.
We had to go to Home Depot for the hardware for your rack.
Right.
You know,
right.
We still needed the we maybe could have skipped the grocery thing.
There was not an easy way out of Portland, but then even later on in the trip, there was not an easy way out of the mess that we got ourselves into.
suburb hell.
Eventually. That's right. Oh, yeah. It just kept going. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
So we stopped at a lot of places, but after we got our food, we got your rack put on your bike, Adele. Mm-hmm. Then we finally were out of town. We had to stop by REI to buy water purification tablets so we could drink water.
And socks.
And socks, yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't take your socks back. Remember that?
No, I was pretty mad at them.
Yeah, yeah. They had no record, and we could have sworn that we bought those socks from them.
But, yeah, well, REI used to be pretty lax. They didn't care if you had a receipt or it was on your record. They said, sure, just bought from REI. We'll take it back. Here's some store credit. Have fun.
Yeah,
but now apparently they've changed their little policy, and you have to actually be, you know, like a member, have to have it on your member record. But.
Mm-hmm.
Tis no problem.
Yeah. It's we started out thinking that we were going to go to Silver Falls, and actually Silver Falls State Park is a beautiful place, beautiful waterfalls, and we had been there before, I think, the year prior.
Never camped there, though.
Never camped, yeah. Aaron, that was your first big ride from Portland, wasn't it?
you're talking about the last October, the big retreat ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was actually probably even before the Crater Lake ride. Was probably, as far as mileage, the longest bike ride I've ever taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we did like 55 miles down to Silver Falls, and it was cloudy that day, so it was a different sort of dynamic. But
And it was up to Silver Falls.
That's right, yeah. We climbed a lot on that route, because outside of Silverton, Silverton's a cute little town, beautiful little creek, cute shops and everything.
Hard to find ice cream.
Hard to find ice cream, but we did eventually find it on this time. But yeah, going out of town, whichever way you go, you have to climb a bunch of hills. So this time around, yeah, you know, going out through the farm country in Oregon was beautiful. Mm. But some of that farm country is on very large hills.
Mm.
So we did quite a bit of climbing, quite a bit of pushing, and a lot of it without shirts. So
yeah,
team shirtless. I
team
think
shirtless
was
one of the
we
other
were all
names.
Shirtless at one point.
Yeah, and actually, as far as the whole, like, Silver Lake ride the first time, I just remembered, like, what a big struggle it was and how awful, you know, those last 20 miles were
right.
From Silverton to Silver Lake and
Silver Falls.
Silver Falls, whatever.
It's okay.
To Silver
Water.
And to Silver Body of Water, insert
places.
Name here.
Right.
Anyhow, I just remember how difficult it was and just trying to mentally prepare myself for that and... when we went through that on our way, incidentally, to SIO this time around.
Right. SCIO. SIO.
It's pronounced SIO, too. I totally didn't even think about how hard it was. Like, we got to SIO, and I was thinking, is that it?
Right, right. Because
I remember it being much more difficult.
That day, you and I, Adele, actually we were starting to feel pretty bushed, pretty tired, just because it was a hot day.
The
sun was beating down on us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really have a headwind or anything that day, I don't think, but
it was just hilly. And then we were kind of riding on sugar high.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah. There was
that
moment.
We really didn't eat any huge meals that day.
No,
and then
we didn't feel hungry.
Right, right. Well, and we had huge bowls of what kind of berries? Are they huckleberries?
Huckleberry
ice cream in Silverton.
Yeah, it's good.
And then
stuff.
We were like, "Oh, we're so full, we don't need dinner for hours." And then we start biking, and then 10 miles later, I start booking it to get ahead of you guys to grab something and like eat it because I'm starting to feel pretty dizzy.
Covertly, yeah.
And then,
shame.
So you guys pull up, and I'm like stuffing chocolate covered pretzels into my mouth, and you guys are like, "Give us some of those."
we're hungry.
We're
too.
About to fall over.
Indeed.
So the end of the day, we were pretty tired. I think we did about 65 miles that first day.
Yeah,
right.
It was a good day.
Yeah, I maybe should clarify. Like, I'm not like any kind of like Superman or anything like
oh,
that.
Oh, you really know? Are. Aaron. You're a man among men.
Stop that. I definitely was tired, but I thought like it was going to be much more of a struggle,
mm-hmm.
you know, than it ended up being.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't kill yourself the first day because we had a whole week of biking ahead of us. So
it's true.
It's good. We didn't push it too hard.
Yeah. So we stayed that night with these retired educators in Sia, Oregon, and they were wonderful folks. Folks we made contact with through warmshowers.org. It's the couch surfing of bicycle touring. And yeah, they apparently, man, what were their names? I should have done my prep.
Roger Gaither.
Roger and May.
And May Gardner?
Nicely done. Nicely done. Really? You've got last names and everything.
Wow. Good job.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, if you're going to plan a bicycle tour anywhere through the Willamette Valley and you're going even close to Scio, Staten, Silver Falls, you got to look them up. I hope this doesn't give them a whole influx, a whole rush of people. Yeah. You know, they have like 100 people showing up on their doorstep at once. But you get in touch with them and talk to them. They do know the meaning of hospitality.
Yeah, true. Amazing.
And them being also cyclotourists.
That's right.
Really know how to treat other tourists.
Yeah, they knew what we needed. Lots of food.
Yeah.
And showers.
Oh, yeah, you got there.
Yeah,
you got
actually,
there
I just found there was a little business card that Roger made. He did a trip on May 16th to July 15th. Hey, I bet that's the Rusts. Hang on a minute.
Yay. So Adam and Jody.
Yeah, we got to catch up to where we meet up.
All right, so I just talked to Adam Rust, and he's totally on board for filling in the details of the trip. So anyways, the next day we went from Scio down through, was it Linn County? And then into Lane County, where Eugene, Oregon is located. And that was a fairly good ride. It was flat. It was easy to make the mileage. We did it, I think, a lot faster than we thought we would.
Yeah. Well, I think, was it you or Adele, like you said, you were planning on being there like around 7?
Oh, yeah. Brock was thinking we'd miss dinner with our friends in Eugene.
Right.
But we made it way early.
Yeah, we actually got there, what, like around 4?
Yeah, something in time like to that, go to Ninkasi.
That's right, Ninkasi Brewery down
most
in Oregon.
Amazing brewery
Eugene, Oregon.
In the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very good. Should mention, those tables at the tap room are not bolted to the floor. So if you sit down and like put some weight on the table, you know, and you got a couple pints up there, they will slosh about.
You'll usually figure out if tables are fixed to the floor or not, Brock.
I have a knack for that. I have a knack for finding all of those.
You have angled knees.
All those weak spots, yeah. So, yeah, so we went down, we had a couple pints there, had their fantastic pretzels, and then we stayed with our folks who live there in downtown. That was when we hooked up with Adam and Jody. So maybe at this point I'll call Adam, and we'll get him in on the conversation as well. Yeah. So
while you're dialing that, or are you paused? No, you're
it's
rolling.
Coming.
Okay, so while you're dialing that, I wanted to mention about how staying with Roger and May convinced me that cyclotourists are some of the best people. Like, they understand travel, they understand hospitality, like they're really willing to go out of their way for, you know, getting to know other people.
They really are. Yeah. And all right, I think we've got Adam. Are you there?
I'm here.
Fantastic. Can you hear us and we can hear you?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Fantastic. All right, well, we just got to the point where we were going to talk about leaving Eugene, so and perhaps maybe it would be a good idea for you, Adam, to tell us how you were feeling that day, because you weren't feeling all that hot.
I was not feeling all that hot. One of my kids had been sick a couple days before, like a stomach flu type of thing, and it apparently had passed to me. So the night before we were due to start pedaling, we were there in Eugene, and I had all kinds of headache and sickness and not sleeping and just felt miserable. And so I woke up the next morning and talked with the rest of our crew about whether or not I should go on. And in your encouraging fashion, you convinced me to go on, even though I felt like dying.
Yeah, you were really that whole day, just like every time we stopped, you laid down on the ground or went to a bathroom or both. So
that is true.
Yeah, I remember the first time we stopped after leaving Eugene. It took us a while to get out of town there, too, because we had to look at your bike, Aaron. Because it was,
Yeah, I had to take that to that shop in Eugene, which the lady then congratulated me for using the bike for what it's meant to be used for.
That's right, to its full potential,
right,
I believe,
to
the wording.
Yeah, that's what she said, to its full potential. yeah, so apparently the front wheel kept coming loose because, you know, I'm actually putting weight up on the fork there, which, you know, most people don't do that.
That's right, yeah.
But yeah, she didn't think anything was really wrong with it other than just all that weight plus the torque of the disc brake, you know, that quick stopping causes that front wheel to kind of like come loose from its housing. I don't know the right word for it, but
sure.
Yeah. So just had to really wrench that skewer down tight.
And otherwise, yeah, it would just kind of work itself loose here and there.
Right. Yeah. Anytime I had to brake hard or like hit a bump, it would do that.
Yeah. So we got that looked at, your bike. You received the compliment. Adele, you went shopping for us. You helped us find
Co-op in Eugene.
Yeah, and what is it, the Kiva?
I don't remember.
Something like that.
Kivu? No, that's the coffee. Yeah, the Kiva.
That was a good
day. Oh, it was a sweet spot.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Cute little market down there. So yeah, we headed down the Highway 99, and I believe, Adam, you were the one that actually helped us find our way out of the suburban jungle.
Well, I had one observation that helped us, but other than that, Brock, you really were the primary navigator. And though, admittedly, we had a few wrong turns, it was okay. We always figured that out, got back on course.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little confusing there, getting out of Eugene, but eventually we found Highway 99, and then we were cruising.
There we go, yeah.
Can I just jump in there? It was kind of a crash course for me to feel what it's like to pull a 4.5-year-old in a fully loaded bike trailer. The Russ have this awesome chariot trailer that I hitched on. They helped me hitch onto my bike because Adam was obviously feeling not up to pulling Mercy. And so I was like, oh, sure, I'll take it. Like, I can handle this. Like, of course I can do this. I'm in shape. I'm fit. And then once I actually started rolling with that thing, I just immediately started going off in my head. Like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. I think it's about 60 pounds of gear and child. and so I got used to it by probably an hour later by the time we hit the first town and took a break. But yeah, that was pretty interesting just sort of seeing what Adam and Jody have gotten used to and go on bike trips with.
That's right. Yeah,
so we give the Russ
major props. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and you handled it like a champ, Adele.
Oh,
good work.
Thanks. Yeah, it was. It got fun eventually. Like, Mercy was very entertaining, and I kept very educated discussions going about her her dream aquarium and various planet Earth shows. So, anyways,
yeah, I was very impressed, Adele. It seemed like you were able to keep a conversation going with Mercy the whole time, almost like you were almost never off. So
I kind of had to, because after about an hour, she started protesting and wanting someone else to pull her. Like, I want someone cooler than this girl. So I was like, okay, do you know the song Waltzing Matilda? I don't care, because I'm going to sing it for you. And so I just start singing it, and she stopped being upset. And I guess from that point on, we kind of became bikey friends. So
you were bonded.
So it was good. Yeah.
Another place we stopped was Cottage Grove. We just we're gonna kind of fuel up there and get some food before we left into the wilderness until the end of time, basically.
Onto their ever expanding bike trail.
That's right. Yeah, and the joke there is that the bicycle trail, there's an off road path that goes from Cottage Grove back into the forest, kind of along the Roe River. I believe it's the Roe River Trail. Adam, you were passed out. You were there on the ground, and you slept for about an hour. You were out getting coffee, Aaron. I think Adele, you also
Adele
went.
And
yeah,
I,
we hunted down some good coffee.
Yeah, it was a cute little joint that was like a coffee house / bookstore / Italian food.
Yeah,
restaurant.
/theater.
/slash theater.
Kind plumbing of service. Small town.
Yes.
Everything in one.
/slash hospitality service. I don't know. Like, yeah. We get there and Adele, you made pretty fast friends with the people who works there, and you know, just from me also being there, then started a conversation up with them. And oh, where are you going? Where are you from? You know, oh, we're heading to Crater Lake. We're from Portland. Oh, you guys are insane. Yes, we know.
Standard conversation,
right? Yeah, standard conversation with people who find out what we're doing.
Yeah,
and this older lady comes up, kind of like overhearing our conversation, and she's like, oh, are you gonna go on the bike trail? You know, it's we've got this 28-mile long bike trail next to the river. And I wasn't thinking about like the details of it, just agreed and was like, yeah, that's part of our plan. Totally, we're going on the river trail. Yeah, awesome, thank you. And you know, she was like beaming and all happy that we're using this famous and again ever expanding bike trail,
right?
Because what was the actual mileage? It's like 12 miles.
Yeah, do you remember, Adam?
I thought it was 17 or something, but
that sounds
anyway.
About right. Yeah.
So from 17 to 28, and then so that became the running joke as we were on this trail, and it, the mileage just kept getting longer and longer.
Yeah, I heard they have a 45-mile trail on Cottage Grove.
Right.
I heard
right.
It goes all the way to...
what did we say? El Dorado.
El Dorado, yeah. So anyways, we took that all the way out, and that took us past the reservoir back in the hills there. And we ended up that night on a Forest Service road at Camp Hobo, which was a free campground back in the forest on the Forest Service road.
And also a club for teenage people.
That's right.
Kids.
Yeah. Young reprobates from all throughout the area gathered there that night to sing, dance, and drink illegally, I suppose. So, yeah. Adam, I don't know how much you remember about that night because you were still feeling pretty ill, but yeah.
I don't remember much, to be honest with you.
I think we left you on the picnic table there, and that was where you lay for some time.
The sweat lodge.
That's right, but I do remember contemplating one thing at that point, which was I started out that morning thinking, I can't do 55 miles in this state. but I had encouragement from all my friends, like, oh, it's no problem. We'll help you. We'll take your load. We'll carry you, whatever we got to do. So I was like, okay, you talked me into it. And then I thought, you know what? For anyone else who does this, they need to understand that it actually is possible to do 55 miles on a bike when you have the stomach flu. So
that's right.
I'm not saying it's enjoyable, but I'm just saying it's humanly possible. You know, we did it, but yeah, I passed out after that and I don't remember anything until the next morning.
Well, what happened was we had some pretty cool road magic, as you could say, with just people on either side of our campsite being super generous.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Maybe it was like the kids sort of magnetically attracted generosity, or we need to help you, but you don't have a car, you poor people, no car. So the neighbor to one side of us, this woman who like lived out of her RV, she brought over some super thick peanut butter fudge brownies, just huge globs of brownie, awesome. And gave them to us, which was right what I needed. And then the other two... like groups on either side of us brought us firewood, and mm-hmm. we didn't have an axe to chop wood, so we were kind of scrounging in the woods with what we could make do, and people just came and like dumped big armloads of firewood for us, and we're like, here you go.
And that was super cool.
It was really, really, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So we slept that night, and to their credit, all the young reprobates turned their stereos down before sunset, so we actually slept pretty well. A nice coincidence was that we bumped into a guy who actually we had met on Adele, you and I, when we had done the West Coast on bicycles back in 2009. Actually, we didn't talk to him. He was just kind of chilling, I think, in the campground. But his site mate, who was building a sweat lodge.
His uncle,
that's right. I said, hey, I think that guy recognized you. So anyways.
it was kind of cool and kind of awkward at the same time because he didn't come up and say hi.
Right.
But then we were also packing up and busy getting out. So we didn't need to, I don't know.
Right.
Rekindle the acquaintanceship.
Yeah, he spoke to us through a proxy.
Yeah. But it was a cool, cool sort of rejoining of the past.
So after the night at Club Hobo, we packed up and we headed up the Forest Service Road. And at this point, that was where we really started going uphill. Like, we'd done a little bit of hill climbing here and there on the trip, but Forest Service roads just don't fuck around. Like, when you go back into the forest, it's you know, you got to be ready to actually pull some serious miles.
Go into the forest, for real.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So we climbed up that, and I had known that there was going to be gravel on the road, or that it was going to be a loose surface as opposed to a paved road at some point. But I had no idea that it was going to be as steep and as hard of a climb as it was. Adam, do you remember? I suppose you remember that day very, very well.
Yeah, I have more recognition of that day because I was feeling a little better by then.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was a hard day.
That was very hard. Basically,
that was, Oregon Trail Pioneers by bike.
It certainly was. Hi, Jody. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, Jody.
Hey.
Yeah. What happened was basically we had so much weight on our bikes and with the trailers and everything that we eventually could not ride up the hill, and so we had to push.
Oh. Yeah.
And so that involved a lot of going back and forth. And Aaron, you were, I think, one of the first people to like say, "Hey, I'm gonna run up and push my bike up, and then I'll run down the hill and grab some other cargo."
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think you might have started
that trend, and then I sort of latched onto it as a way to get us all up that mountain.
Right. Well, I was sort of the least burdened as far as weight.
Right. You didn't have a trailer.
I didn't have a trailer, or I didn't have as much as anyone else.
Right. And I loose bowels.
Right. And I wasn't sick yet. And so, I just kept walking. And it was a point in time that I realized it was like 20 minutes to a half hour. And I couldn't even see any of you guys. So I just kind of threw my bike down in the shade. And I started walking down, mostly with the intent of seeing how far back everybody was. Mm-hmm. And then seeing you pulling Mercy mm-hmm. up the hill. And we probably both got the idea independent of each other. Let's just get all our bikes to some shaded area, come back down, grab somebody else's bike, help them pull that up. Mm-hmm. So that was something really, really cool. About that came out of this sort of potentially horrible.
Every person was on board with it. We all had to pitch in and one person haul a bike, one person pushed the trailer up behind it. One person, Adam had one of, his daughters on his shoulders and he was carrying her up the hill.
That made for a cute picture.
It did. It was all about the cute picture.
Yeah. A lot of opportunities for cute pictures there. I know we had a long, long climb, and every time it seemed like maybe it was going to level off, it just went around a corner and kept going up farther and steeper.
Yeah.
So it was a good, would you say 6 hours? I don't remember how long.
No, I think it felt like 6 hours, but I think in reality it was about 3 or 4 hours. Because okay. I'm guessing we walked and pushed all our stuff about 3 miles uphill. It always feels farther uphill. But I think we were going about a mile an hour is what Adam had estimated we were doing at one point, which I think is probably true. So I don't know.
Yeah. I will say this, though. It's like there's kind of that adage that, hard times bring people together.
That's true.
Amen. We were having kind of a little bit of a rough patch there, but I was really impressed with everybody banding together like that. And, one person who's maybe not as burdened like Aaron was running back and helping somebody who had a trailer. And, I could tell that the mindset was we've all got to get there together. Nobody was like breaking away and kind of being the, way out in front, leave everybody mm-hmm. in the dust. That never happened. And I really appreciated that. And I really appreciated kind of just that unspoken sense of solidarity that was among the group at that moment, even though I think we were all kind of like, oh my gosh, when is this hill ever going to top out? Like, this is impossible. There's a lot of potential for discouragement, but instead we just kind of kept charging and did it together. And that was a really rewarding part of the trip mm-hmm. for that reason.
It was. And when we finally got to the top, we did not go over Bohemia Mountain, but we were in the Bohemia Mountain vicinity, I guess. And when we finally got to that level spot where there was flat ground and we could get back on the bikes and actually ride them, I just remember like it had been ages and ages since I'd actually been on a bike to mm-hmm. ride one. And it almost felt like a foreign concept. It almost felt like we'd always been climbing this mountain and we always would be. but then we finally broke into it. So I just have to ask both of you Rusts, what were your thoughts like when you realized that we were actually going to do this, we were actually going to get off of our bikes and push them up over a mountain. Did you ever think this was not what you signed up for?
I'll have to confess the thought did cross my mind.
That's a charitable way to put it.
but I also simultaneously thought, well, we're not going back. I mean, crap, we've climbed this far. Like, I'm not wasting that.
Right.
So it was just kind of, just like when you're on a long stretch, even if you are on the bike and you are on the pavement, if you have like a 100-mile day, eventually you hit some spot where you're just like, man, this is getting old. I'd really like to take a break or whatever. But the antidote at that point is I just got to keep going. There's no real choice about it. You just got to keep going. And, I certainly had hoped for the wind in my hair that day, but, we didn't have it right then. And that's just part of the trip. You get that sometimes and you don't other times, just take it in stride.
That's right. Jody?
Yeah, I think I was pretty just focused on continuing until we got to the top. And I don't think I had a moment where I was like, oh my goodness, this is never, can't do this anymore. But Yeah, like, and then I also knew that probably there wasn't going to be another day like that, so just, you know, lived for the moment.
That's right. And that we did.
Yeah.
I was glad that we had the iodine tablets because we would have run out of water a long time, you know, before the top, I think. But we were able to stop at a couple creeks on the way up and fill up. And we rode down the hill. There's a lot of gravel. Downhill riding is probably not much more fun than going up, except that you're going a little bit faster. But my hands got pretty cramped, I remember, from going down the hill and trying to maintain speed so I wouldn't go out of control.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's sort of hard in a different realm.
Yeah.
You're going downhill, so you have to, like, maintain that control. Mm-hmm. You are going faster, but there's sort of more of that risk of, like, falling off and breaking something.
Right.
Yeah. As opposed to, like, if you're walking up a hill, it's strenuous. It's not fun. But the chances of you falling off and, you know, breaking your neck are pretty slim.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Well, it was such a day of extremes for me because climbing up the mountain, we were going so slow and it was pretty painful. And I was just thinking, wow, really junkies for pain right now. And then we get over the pass and I'm just can't wait to go downhill and go fast. But then it's so easy to careen out of control that, you know, suddenly I got too much speed,
right,
too much adrenaline going. And so it was either, you know, I was going too slow or I was going too fast. There wasn't, you know, much happy medium to that day, but, you know, still I tried to slow down and just kind of enjoy it. I mean, the scenery was beautiful. We were in a beautiful part of Oregon, pine forests, rushing mountain streams.
Downhilling.
Yeah, and you were too. Three out of the five of us had
a
trailer.
Right. Yeah, I had the cargo trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, actually, Mercy fell asleep going downhill,
which I thought was so
ironic because it was probably the joltiest, bumpiest part of the day, and she just conked out back in the trailer. And my hands, denumbing my hands, and I look back, like, thinking that she's probably pretty unhappy from all the jarring around, and she's just fast asleep.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we did not go as far that day as we thought we would because of the obvious incline and difficulty of getting over the mountain. We thought we were going to get all the way down to the state highway and well on our way to Diamond Lake by that night. But actually, we ended up pulling off at a free campground, which was nice. It was free, and it was right next to a creek. I believe that was Steamboat Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that we were riding next to for a while. That night it was a lovely campground, lovely sight.
It was also free.
I was gathering kindling and I saw this paper on the ground and I mean, we had cleaned up, we'd noticed there was some previous occupants that had left garbage around. So I just assumed it was paper and garbage. And after I had a handful of it, I noticed that some of the paper was obviously used.
Contaminated.
Right.
Yeah.
But at that point, I already had some in my hands. What do you do?
You're like, that's it.
And we needed stuff to start the fire with anyway.
So we actually had a poop fire that night, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, good times. In a completely unrelated note, Jody, you had to tend to some unpleasant effects of just kind of the spreading disease that night.
Yeah, that was the night that Mercy started puking.
So she was victim number three.
Two.
Yes, and she pulled a all-nighter. she just was throwing up all night in the tent.
Oh, poor girl.
Yeah, so we didn't really get much sleep that night. And then it was morning.
And then it was a new day.
Time for coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, that was rough. I felt bad for you guys just because it seemed it had been such a hard, grueling day. And then it was a long night of Mercy feeling just terrible, you know, and no fault of her own. It was just the rampaging virus. But yeah, well, we got up and we had breakfast and pulled together our stuff. And then we rode on out. We met the Highway 138 and we kept riding towards Crater Lake. It was a beautiful scenery as well along the Umpqua River, mm-hmm. not made of ice cream, as we found out.
Yeah,
so
I was
surprising.
Very disappointed.
It was a letdown.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny. Anyone who's not from Oregon, because there's a brand called Umpqua ice cream. So now you can laugh at the joke along with us. But we made our way up the highway. There was a little bit of climbing, but it was a fairly good ride. We were all very, very tired and very ready for a break by the time we got to the only store on the highway. And I believe there's the Dry Creek store, which is at Dry Creek, but it's really not near anything. It's just kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But we bought the things that we had been kind of wanting that whole time away from civilization. You know, we were only gone from the city for like, you know, 24 to 48 hours. But by the time we got there, we were really hungry. And so Cheetos, a full half gallon of Umpqua ice cream, popsicles, all the works. That was a well-deserved break, I think, and we enjoyed ourselves greatly.
And it took us...
That was epic.
It was epic, yeah.
Yeah, we downed that half gallon of ice cream in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it did.
I looked at it. It was a super dense chocolate, you know, southern mud pie deal. And I was like, I don't know if four of us can eat this. And then I was like, why did I even wonder that? Because it was gone so fast. And I was looking around for the next half gallon. So good. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was very great. We progressed from there, and I think the trip only got harder and maybe less enjoyable, and more desperate and desolate.
That was the afternoon from
Powell. I think after we got to the Dry Creek store, the highway just started going uphill. And Jody, you remember this better than any of us because at that point you had started to get some of this flu bug as well.
Yeah, when we were stopped at the store, I didn't really feel sick. I just mostly felt really wiped out, and I thought it was probably just from not getting any sleep the night before, helping out Mercy in the tent. But as we biked on, I just was dragging, and then I started to feel a little nauseated, and I tried eating, and soon after realized eating was not the answer to my problem.
Yeah, that was tough. I know I was in the back of the line with you, Adam, and at that point, I mean, you had been kind of sick for the first day, and so day two was just kind of like just kind of an extension of that. Like your muscles were probably still kind of healing, and your body was still kind of getting used to going back to work, and so you and I were there kind of at the tail end of the whole thing for quite some time.
Yeah. We were.
Yeah. And then Adele, you and Mercy, yeah, you were towing her trailer. And Aaron was up there.
Kept company, too. Mm-hmm.
Right. So you guys were kind of up at the front.
And that was kind of a strange experience because I got the trailer with Mercy from Jody just because she looked tired. And then I just kind of took off with right. the kid and Aaron because I was like, oh, they'll catch up. I'm going to be the slowest one here. So I'm just like kind of pedaling for all it's worth, sort of. And then we go for like 10 miles no sign of them.
We were gone. Like we had lost sight of everybody. I had just assumed that Jody was with you and Adam.
Right.
So I figured like, okay, so those three are going to be hanging back and kind of taking it easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Adele's going to be sort of taking the front. And so I was going to ride with Adele, kind of keep her company and just make sure like, you know, riding alone, like if something were to happen to one of us, you know, it's just like you need to have like somebody else to maybe go back and relay messages or something like that. And not realizing until it was pretty much kind of too late, you know, that it was already
that we lost like, the other half
we
of
were
our party
so far ahead.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, we were like slowing it down and slowing it down. And I think I can't remember if it was you or me just decided, let's just stop and pull over.
Yeah.
And wait.
Well, I said at a certain mile marker, we're going to stop and wait for them. Yeah. And we did. And then we just waited and waited and waited.
And it was
I think it was about almost an hour of waiting by the side of the road. And I was almost like multiple times I was about to flag down a car and ask if they'd seen any cyclists. But, you know, what would be the point? Because, of course, they would have seen them. I was like, well, if they're dead, some car would see us and stop. And say, hey, someone's
your friends are
dead back there. Like, your friends are gone. But that didn't happen, so I kind of held up hope that you guys would find us eventually, which you did.
Yeah. Jody, you were the first to come upon us, and you were coming pretty slow. And so I think I pretty much instantly knew, like, something was up. But my thinking, like, kind of, I went to worst case scenario, and I was thinking, like, something was up with, like, Brock or Adam, like, either they're injured or they can't go on for some reason or another. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, so you came up, Jody, and that's when you told us
that you were done.
I remember that you guys were like, are you guys okay? Like, you seemed, like, super worried. And I was totally, like, in my own zone of, like, trying not to, like, fall off my bike and die. And I was just like, yeah, I'm sick. I had, like, nothing else to say except I'm sick and how much I hate mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of mosquitoes.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were villains.
So we made it to very close, I think, to where we wanted to be, but we still had a long ways to go.
We were 18 miles away still from Diamond Lake.
Yeah, I guess that's close on a 45-mile day, kind of. But it was a lot longer than we had expected. But there was some road construction that was kind of in the way. They had been kind of tearing the road apart.
Widening the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. So we had been riding kind of in the lane of traffic, essentially, with whoever was on the highway there. And eventually we got to the point where we got up to the top. We had all reconnected. Well, all of us had kind of found each other, and so we all progressed on slowly. And at the point where the construction was happening, the flagger told us that basically, for our own safety, everyone would have to load into a vehicle. They had a pilot car, which was just a truck with a light on it. And that was going to take us from one place to another. So we got there. The Rust family was still kind of back behind, and Jody was still kind of discovering how sick she was. And Adele and I and Aaron were all up at the front of the line.
And Mercy.
And Mercy
was in her trailer,
us.
Yeah. And so it was this classic movie moment where all of a sudden Aaron just says, all right, you guys go. You guys go. I'll take care of this. And so we just start loading up, you know, kind of like in a flurry.
Well, it was so dramatic. It was like, I don't know what, Brock, you said it reminded you of Children of Men or
something.
It kind of
reminded me.
Get out of here now. And so Aaron's just like, go. And so we just like start throwing stuff in the back of the pickup truck and like make sure like Mercy's in there okay. And then like Brock gets in and we're like, go while you can. Escape this place. And so, you know, like this old lady, Barbara or whatever, I don't know what her name was, like, gets in the car. She's a flagger, and she starts driving us up
this
road.
We do know her name.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I can find that for you.
Oh,
later.
Okay.
I
well,
keep,
well, she
keep
was super cool, so we should, you know, acknowledge her. But on the bright side, we got a 4 mile ride up this pretty steep, winding mountain road, which we were in no shape to handle at that point. So it was kind of a blessing that road
right.
construction was there and that they made us, that they forced us into their pickup trucks.
It was 4 miles of riding. We did not have to do that day,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, you can argue about the simplicity of that whole mode of transport, but at the point, I think we appreciated it greatly.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good times. That was the point at which, I guess, Adam, you and Jody kind of decided to pull the ripcord.
Well, yeah, I think it was more me recognizing that Jody had pulled the ripcord.
All I did was lay down in the ditch.
Yeah, once we got out of the pilot car, the process there was the pilot car dropped us off, we offloaded all the stuff, and Jody, without a word, just laid down in the ditch.
And that's all all she needs to do.
And so it was kind of like, well, the message is clear here. We know where Jody stands on the issue. So Adele, rather helpfully, pulls out Jody's sleeping bag and allows her to crawl inside. And then we had a little conference of those of us who remained conscious. And I guess just in a matter of a few minutes decided that this would be the point where it would be wise for my parents, who live about an hour away, to just come and get us because we're in such bad shape. And whoever wants to continue riding can continue riding on to that night's destination. So the three of you went on, and our whole family decided to stay in the ditch and let Jody put her lunch on the ground. And then my dad came.
You mean like
for
in a sack?
she just put her sack lunch on the ground.
Did she put her lunch on the ground in a brown paper bag?
It would have been more sightly if she had.
Okay.
So it felt a little bit like admitting defeat, but in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, no, this isn't total defeat. There's still a chance here that some more miles can be ridden. But I just knew that at least for that moment, Jody wasn't going an inch further.
Right.
And it was just kind of important, I felt, for our whole family to stay together. So that's why we all just ended up jumping in with my dad. He brought us all the way back to their house that night, where we stayed and kind of let Jody recover. Well, you guys went on and you successfully got to Diamond Lake, and maybe I should let you take over the rest of the story from there.
Yeah, we pushed on to Diamond Lake, but not before the mosquitoes caught up with Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
Damn those mosquitoes.
Those full of mosquitoes.
Two things I want to interject before we get on to that part. And one is I kind of want to hear from the rest, like, what exactly happened during that time, like, after we left and your dad came and picked you up, like, you know, as, I don't know, in as much detail as you care to give, because I really actually never heard much of that other than, like, oh, it was awful and people thought, you know, we were dying.
Yeah. Well, if it's detail you want, I'll give you detail. So the pile of puke was about 14 inches in diameter.
My favorite memory from that couple hours is, I didn't really notice much of what was going on except that I was really sick. But at one point, I did look up right after just spewing everywhere. And there was this, like, line of cars waiting, the flagger had stopped them, and there's just like a line of cars right next to where I'm laying, just everybody like watching me pathetically like just get sick all over the ditch.
And Jody had a nectarine for lunch, so there was nectarine in the pile.
No. That sounds terrible.
But yeah, she's right. Just to get the mental image here for everybody, we literally like just threw all of our stuff in the ditch right where the line of cars stops for the flagger at the entrance of the construction site. So, you know how they do it at construction. Like there's a 10-minute interval where they let cars stack up and then the pilot car takes that stack through. So every 10 minutes, there's a new set of vehicles parking right next to us to watch us in our pathetic state where we've got two little children who are dirty head to toe, running around wildly, and I'm frantically running around trying to, like, break down all of our equipment so that it's small enough to fit in my parents' car when they arrive. And whenever Jody actually stirs or says, I need something, attend to that and make sure my kids don't run out in traffic. And so it's just kind of like this really chaotic hour of waiting, basically. There was not a dull moment for me. I'll say that. And right as I got the last bit of equipment broken down, my dad arrived, so it was kind of perfect timing there. And the flagger there, who was stopping traffic, even came up and checked on us, I think, two or three times. She was just very concerned about the fact that we were laying in the ditch. I mean, obviously, that would concern some people.
I suppose so.
Yeah. And actually, at least one motorist got out of their car and checked on us, too. It was actually this very kind older lady who had a European accent of some sort that I couldn't place. But they were in, like, a 40-foot RV, and she comes trekking out of the RV to come over and see if we needed anything. So it was very nice. We got a lot of hospitality from people, but, you know, the answer was always the same, which is like, hey, we're just waiting. Our ride's going to be here in a minute. Thanks for your concern, you know. But as much as it doesn't look like we're okay, we're actually okay.
There you go.
I remember just hearing Rhea asking for Cheetos like 10 times.
Oh, yeah. We did not have enough Cheetos for Rhea.
Because we spoiled her at the Creek store.
Yeah, we wet her appetite with a whole bag. That was quite a lot of Cheetos. That was good stuff. Well, anyways, so the Rust seniors came to pick you up and bring you to their home, which was the eventual endpoint. That was what we had planned to ride.
That's
to,
right.
At least, anyways. So you guys had some rest and relaxation and, I guess, repairing time there just to lay down and get better. We continued on. We camped at Diamond Lake that night. Aaron got swarmed by mosquitoes. Yeah, Adele, yeah.
The mosquitoes on the road
outran.
To Diamond Lake were vicious.
They were awful. I will say, like, from that point, from when we dropped off the Russ till we finally crest,
14 miles
got to
later.
The top of that hill at Diamond Lake, that was probably the most emotionally draining part of the ride for me.
Like, yeah.
I went from Johnny Optimistic to like just gradually to like everything sucks. I'm going to die here. I hate mosquitoes. I hate life. As the rust were already in a ditch, I was just going to pull over purposely in a ditch and wait for sweet right. death by malaria. But yeah,
there was a possibility. There was a lot of mosquitoes up there.
Yeah, it just got worse and worse. And I realized at one point I was in the lowest gear possible, making no headway. My legs are just super tired. I can't outrun these mosquitoes. I don't have anything in my gear to like any kind of mosquito repellent. I mean, at one point in time, I was slathering myself with tea tree oil just because I knew it smelled something, you know, and it kept them somewhat away for a little while, but right. tea tree oil evaporates really quickly. So, and again, like I was just going so slow, like you guys totally went way, way up ahead. And you know, I could hear you kind of like yelling, some encouragement from up there, like, come on, you can do this, or, you know, you're a machine or whatever. And I was like, no, I'm not. I suck. Why did the rust have to go? And now I'm going to be gone too.
You're a machine. You're just a slow machine right now. Well, I just remember I was going to go back to Brock to get the bug repellent because Brock was maybe 100 yards behind
me. Oh, yeah.
Me and Aaron.
Yeah, there was that point.
And I was like, oh, I'll just, or I was like, oh, let's stop here and wait for Brock. And I look behind me and I see like hovering over my back tire, there was like a cloud of mosquitoes, like one of the 10 plagues. Like, I kid you not. It was like a plague of mosquitoes. And they like all swarmed me. And so I was like, gotta keep going, Aaron. I'm sorry. We can't get this bug spray. So I just start pedaling again and like barely like keeping inches ahead of this cloud of mosquitoes. And like, they still got me. I mean, I think I had 50 bites on each leg that night.
Right.
But I mean,
50?
You
got off light.
Oh, I have never had that before. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Diamond Lake was a great campsite. It's a popular camping destination. It's well improved. There are showers there. It's great. So we camped there.
Don't swim in Diamond Lake.
Don't swim. There's an algae bloom right now.
I did.
Adele swam. It was great. And as far as we can tell, she's fine. So,
no third ears yet.
Yeah. I drank a half bottle of whiskey, basically. I mean, I shared a little bit of it, but most of it I drank.
Time.
So, yeah, it had been a long day and I felt like I needed some relief. So,
Burritos.
Yeah, bean burritos. Those are the best bean burritos I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, I will say, like once we crested that top of the hill, like everything instantly got better. I was like, yes, mountains, and now I can go downhill, and
that's right,
and life is awesome again. And like, I think I actually like kind of wept a little bit.
It was like a death and rebirth sort of experience.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So we slept there that night. We got up, grabbed some supplies from the resort store that was there, and then we thought it was the last day. We pushed on to Crater Lake. And Crater Lake, even after you get to the park, it's still an intense climb from the park, the guard station, you know, where you pay your admission fee, all the way up to the rim. Mm-hmm. And it took us a while, but, after a long, hard push, we got up to the top. We saw beautiful water. Mm-hmm. We decided to go down to, the only trail that leads to the actual lake itself. We gave up a lot of that hard-earned elevation, coasted downhill.
Sorry, guys. So I made them do it. I was in no way going to Crater Lake and not jumping in.
Right.
I'd been looking forward to that for, you know, I don't know, my entire life. I don't know. So we got there and you guys were like, we made the rim, woo. And I was like, well, now we have to actually swim in the lake. So now we have to bike 5 miles downhill. We're going to have to gain it on the way back. And then the hike 1,000 feet down to the lake's level.
I will say, like, in retrospect, I'm glad we did that. But at that moment where we're like making this decision, I kind of resented you a little bit.
You were not a happy camper, but I was like, I'm going.
Yeah. And it was great. I mean, the water was refreshing and cool. We hiked down, we hiked up, we bicycled back to the rim, back to the peak. And that was pretty much, that was our Crater Lake experience. We got to see the whole thing. Adele, you and I posed as Tron and whoever else.
Tron and that other
except
chick.
Mrs.
Instead
Tron
of in a tight suit. instead I was wearing a rain jacket.
Yeah, instead of a disc, we had a bicycle helmet that we were lifting up to the sky.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So that was pretty great.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah. We made it eventually to the Rust Mansion, but before we did so, we had a little bit of a sad experience with Xanterra.
Before that, yeah. Localized thunderstorm.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. We saw that up on the rim.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. I should ask now, cause we could probably do this for a while, and I mean, maybe I should put a limit on it myself, but, Rust family, we may spend some time talking about the downfalls of the Xanterra organization. Would you like to stay on the line for that, or should we let you go for the night?
Yeah, we're here.
All right, good enough. Well, we went to Mazama Village, which is run by contractor Xanterra, and we can all say that Xanterra is lame.
Yeah, just
hash mark.
Thumbs
lame.
Down. Thumbs down all the way.
Right.
Seeing if I still have the little video piece that I.
Check this out. So we found a snow lodge that we are staying in for free because Xanterra Industries or whoever they are screwed up. They suck. Anything with Xanterra's name on it, zero, double zero. Can you see my thumb down? Yes.
Anyhow.
So that was a video that we recorded that night after we were essentially turned away. We weren't de facto turned away, but they said that we had to pay $27 for an RV site because there was no accommodation for us bicyclists that showed up.
In a national park, which was kind of shocking because I'd heard from, I don't know, at least one source that
Joe Kermaski
kind of said that, and I don't know, maybe one of his books, he's going to Yellowstone and the campground was all full, but since it was a national park, they let the bikers have a spot somewhere to park on or to camp on.
Right.
But not this company.
Right. And I mean, technically, I mean, it's on a national park, but they're private run organization.
Sure. And they were offering us a site, but $27 for a pad of concrete was not going to cut it.
Right.
So
when really all we wanted was just a place, some dirt to put
a grassy knoll.
Yeah.
Maybe
we could have made do it on a like 10-foot square of, you know, of grass.
Oh, and then you got denied from the all you can eat buffet restaurant, which I totally set my heart on that night.
We had all gotten pretty excited about a buffet restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much that was the thing that got me to hike down to the crater then back up was this idea that, okay, well, you know, when we're done, there's this all you can eat buffet afterwards and we're going to gorge ourselves. And so while you guys were registering for the site or getting turned away for the site, I went into the buffet that is, you know, attached to the Xanterra campgrounds and run by Xanterra Industries, who, I cannot emphasize enough, is a thumbs down.
They just don't do customer service very well.
Anyways, I'm in there. I put my name. There's like a line, and it's maybe an hour before their hours close. Anyway, and they call us. I actually put your names down because, you know, table for Flores is probably not going to get me services as quickly. So, anyways,
happy to lend you my family name anytime. So.
Sure. So they're like, did his party of three, and you know, I'm there in my bike jacket, you know, but also covered in road dust. And the hostess is like, where's the rest of your party? And they'll be here soon. Well, where are they? Well, they'll be here. You can just show me to the table. When they get here, I'll make sure they get to the table. Well, where are they? Well, they're registering for a site. Oh, no. That's going to take too long. I can't hold the table for that long. And I'm like, what? I'm just kind of flabbergasted. Like, this has never happened to me before. You know, usually I go, I get my table, and if there's like one or two people from our party that's not there, it's like, oh, they'll meet up with us. And, you know, hardly ever is there questions asked. I will say, not to vilify them too much, it was rather crowded. There were a lot of people waiting.
And I guess stuff happens to wait staff all the time.
Right,
so
right. However, you know,
no mercy.
By rights, that was my table. And yeah, she was just what really got me was she was just really unapologetic. I can't hold her table. And yeah, I was just really like surprised and taken aback. And I'm like, whoa, this is our table. And she goes, no, we're way too crowded. You're going to have to go in the back of the line. And, you know, at that point I realized we weren't going to get a table. And you know what? They were charging way too much for this anyways. It was like $17 for this buffet, which, you know, I don't know. It's buffet food. It's sitting under a heat lamp. So
there you go. That's a shot of realism that probably we needed.
Yeah. So,
well, yeah, and it turned out to be a blessing in disguise for me later on.
So. That's right, because we went on down the road. We knew we weren't going to pay $27 just to camp on dirt. And so we kept on rolling down the road, hoping we'd find a place that we could kind of squat at. And we came across Adam New had recommended the Annie Creek Snow Park, which during the winter is a snowmobiling location. It's fantastic. It's just outside the national park in the Forest Service. They have a shelter there. It's a little lodge that's built to warm yourself in when you're out enjoying the winter sports. And in the summertime, nobody uses it. Mm-hmm. So we rolled right
except
in.
Except French bicyclists.
And us, yes.
And non-French bicyclists.
Anyone in the Klamath Falls or Annie Creek area listening at this point, they need firewood. There was like this big sign, we need firewood. So
true
if
enough.
You've got extra firewood, take it over there.
That's right.
We certainly drained them that night.
Yeah. We made food that night, so.
Yeah, but there's a wood stove, and it was mosquito-proof because the windows had glass. Were there even windows?
Yeah, the windows
had glass, and then there were these kind of plastic flaps in front of the door, so no mosquitoes could get in, so we had this great little log cabin all to ourselves for free.
It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
So, Adam, thanks for the tip.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, that was we met Rancher Bob, who was living in this big 40-foot RV. He lent us a can opener because... we didn't have a can opener.
That's so classic.
Yeah.
to open the beans we bought from Zantara. So.
Right. We bought this food that we were assuming we were going to have to eat cold. And then didn't realize you guys had one of those pull tabs on your beef stew, but
right.
Me being all picky and not eating meat, I settled for refried beans, which didn't have the convenient pull tab. Mm-hmm.
So.
But it was a great place to spend the night. We played some dominoes and we enjoyed ourselves. I think I was on the vodka at that point. But that was the night, Adele, that you got sick, and that was why it was good that we had not actually stuffed ourselves at the buffet restaurant.
Yeah, I kind of realized it was happening to me when we'd all turned in, and I insisted. This is a little embarrassing, but I insisted on setting up the one-person tent that Aaron had been using all week on top of a picnic table inside the snow shelter because I was afraid of like mice or rats
or bears
that tent's definitely gonna keep me safe. It was also bear country and you know lots of coyotes, and Brock and Aaron were just laid out on these picnic tables. I had my tent on top of a picnic table, and then around midnight it started to get that, you know, kind of bad queasy feeling,
that sickly feeling, knowing
just as I was trying to fall asleep. So it just got worse all night. Didn't sleep all night until probably about 3 a.m. you know, I ran outside and it all just came up, and so I lay back in my tent, and then it was soon after that I like the symphony of coyotes just started going off. And I think it was one of the most terrifying. I think that was one of my lows of the trip. Just terrified, like lying awake, shivering, knowing I'm going to have to run outside and throw up some more at any minute, and hearing hundreds of coyotes, or what it sounded like, hundreds of them, just, you know.
It was kind of a haunting sound.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of beautiful.
Honestly.
But I also, you know, was a little bit unsettled because there's only these plastic flaps on the doorway and like no way to really shut them out, even though I know coyotes don't really, you know, go for people. But still, I had just, you know, upchucked all this beef stew right outside the door. So I thought, oh no, they're going to be attracted to this. We're going to get bears. Okay. But whatever. I just sort of like quaked in my little boots all night and didn't really, I sort of slept. And then in the morning, Adam and his dad came and took me out of there.
Yeah, that was the second time to pull the ripcord. Adam, you were kind enough to rustle your dad from bed and have him drive out and pick up my sick wife. So thank you so much.
That was a relief.
Well, it was actually my pleasure, because this is why our exit from the trip was not truly the end for us. I got to come back and actually ride some miles with you guys from the snow park back to the house, which is about 27 miles. And when I knew that we were coming back to get somebody, I was like, well, you know, I better bring my bike just in case, you know.
And just in case.
Stuff, I got to ride some more, which was really great because I really wanted to ride in those last miles with you.
Yeah. And that was a good day's ride, Aaron. Yeah. You and I made that with Adam, and we saw all of the beautiful Klamath Valley Basin, valley floor. We stopped down, we saw some of the lake, and then we rolled into your very steep driveway of your parents.
I remember in succession, as we're going, because it's a steep hill going down
right
towards your house, Adam, and we're going at a pretty decent clip, and I'm keeping up with you. And you say something like, get ready to shift down. And I didn't quite get it at first. And then, you know, you pull in and it's a really steep incline.
Right.
Up to your house. And I remember just, you know, expletive, shit, you know.
Right.
Trying to shift down as you know, I realize I'm in way too high of a gear for this. And then no more than, you know, maybe a minute, 2 minutes later, Brock, who is tailing us, you know, same thing. I could hear him from behind us. Shit, you know, right. Click, 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 click.
Quick succession.
Yeah,
yeah. But we made it up to the top of the hill, and at the top of the hill, that's where your parents live, and they have this beautiful view of Klamath Lake. It's a fantastic, wonderful place to live and to relax and rest. Both of the Rust senior parents are wonderful people. Both Jim and Maida. Both took care of us very well. They fed us. They gave us beer. They gave us soda. They took care of Adele.
They gave me a can and sent me to a guest room, which I was more than happy to do.
Right. So we all kind of rested and recovered there, but it was great. I know there's a wonderful altruism, I think, that I learned from this trip. Just like at so many points, we had people showing up in you know, vehicles to pick us up or to drive us somewhere. And I feel like it's nice to have that experience every now and again, to be in genuine need and to realize that the easiest way to solve this problem right now is for someone with a truck to come and pick us up, you know. And like, everyone knows I'm all about low car life and that sort of thing, but here and there, it is nice. To have the option just to have someone come and pick you up. So,
yeah, and Mr. Rust, well, and Mrs. Rust afterwards, like, loved to sort of razz you about the whole, like,
oh, seriously,
one less SUV sticker you have on your bike.
That's there. Right. So, yeah. I was very impressed and very 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 much enjoyed the Rust family mansion there. So
true.
We all rested. Aaron, you got sick the night before we left on the train. I got sick the day after we got home. So that virus is it's a kicker. You got to stay away from that. If you know anyone who has it, don't go anywhere near them.
Just
bike camping with them. Yeah.
And by the way, both my parents ended up getting sick, I think, the day after you guys.
That's right. That's right.
And I stole their can. I took it on the train with me.
Oh, no.
That's what we get for all that altruism. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Did they recover, Adam?
Yeah. They had the same experience with it that all of us did.
There you go.
Seemed like it was one of those bugs where, you know, if you're around anybody with it, just count on getting it, and it's always going to treat everybody the same. It's indiscriminate. So, yeah,
it will liquefy your insides.
Doesn't
no
care
matter
how
who
nice you are.
Yeah,
or whether you're on a bike trip or not.
Yeah,
I remember, not to get too much onto the whole sickness thing, but there was a point, Brock, where you're kind of like checking in on me. You know, you're like, I think we had already been on the train for some time. You're like, how are you holding up? And I didn't really know like what to say other than, I can't believe there's still stuff inside me that's coming out.
That was a dangerous, dangerous time.
We were at that place at some point.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, it was a good tour, so maybe we should probably wrap up here pretty quick. But Adam and Jody, reflections? Anything that you learned about traveling with children, about simplicity and bicycles? Anything at all?
I'd actually like to share one other chapter in the narrative before getting to reflections, if that's all right.
Please do.
So the thing that happened for me and Jody after you guys left is a couple days passed by. We got all recovered and everything. And it was just nagging me that we had basically taken the ride in order to ride around Crater Lake. And due to the sickness, Jody and I did not get to ride those miles. So we've ridden every other mile on that ride except for the miles around Crater Lake. So it was terrible irony. And then I was kind of like, well, you know what? We've got all our bike gear. We're back in good health. We're living like an hour away from the rim right now. Why not go ride it? So, you know, I guess it was about 3 days after you guys left, and we stayed on at my parents' house for a little while longer. My dad actually dropped us off up at Crater Lake Lodge, and Jody and I, just by ourselves, no kids or anything, just took the morning and rode the 33 miles around the rim and then came the miles down off the rim to the same snow park where we picked up Adele. So that was a good move. I'll just say that.
Oh, that's good. Because, a little bit of payoff.
It was fantastic. If anyone has any ideas of riding bikes around the rim of Crater Lake, follow your heart on that, because I would do that again in a heartbeat. That was really, really rewarding. So just wanted to make sure people know we did actually end up, the story ends kind of with a happy ending. We did get to accomplish our goals of riding around Crater Lake. So
everyone got what they wanted at the end.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's a good way to redeem the whole sickness episode.
Yeah, but I mean, main reflections other than that were what I shared before. Like, I really appreciated the solidarity of when we were kind of struggling up that gravel hill. You know, I thought that was a real kind of team building moment. I think it really solidified some things in my mind. For example, I would take another bike tour with you guys in a heartbeat.
That's nice of you to say. Thank you.
And I'm on record with that.
All right. Yeah, indeed you are. It's going out to the public.
Right back at you, brother.
Awesome. So yeah, if anyone out there gets the chance to take a tour with friends, do it. And I guess that's my other reflection too, is now that we've done a few tours with you guys as a group, I don't know. I don't really have any desire ever to just go touring solo, I think. You know, I mean, I can see virtue in it, and I could see that it would be great, but I think it would be far more awesome, far more rewarding always to do it as a team, you know, with some good friends. There's pluses and minuses to every situation, but I think the pluses of bike touring with people vastly outweigh the minuses. So, nice. You know, whenever I daydream about another tour, I always include people in my daydream.
I like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Anything from you, Jody?
Sorry, Jody had to leave the room.
There we go. Well, if she has anything, we'll have her patch her in later, I guess.
I was really hoping she would say something nice about
it. I imagine she'd probably say, don't go bike touring when ill with the stomach flu.
Indeed. Indeed. Aaron, this was your first tour. Reflections, things you learned?
Don't knock over the root beer on a glass table. Reflections, things I've learned. It was the most physically, emotionally draining episode of my life, but totally worth it because it was also the most emotionally rewarding episode. Well, that's actually pretty superlative there.
Yeah.
But
nicely done.
Yeah. It was just totally worth it. Really awesome. I can't put it any better than Adam had stated. Like, I was really surprised, not just with everybody's coming together, but even with my own being able to support everybody. Like, many times, if given my own, or if left to my own devices, when faced with like crisis or crises, you know, I can let that kind of overwhelm me, and I can do the whole like give up and everything sucks and there is no hope kind of, I get in that mode. But something about the whole shared misery experience really kind of brought out the best in all of us. And I totally agree. Like, I've never done a solo trip, and I, out of curiosity, I would love to do it just to see what it was like. But I would say it probably would not, and this is pure conjecture, but it probably would not be anywhere near as rewarding as like being with people that you can gel with and really work well together with. Team building 2011.
Excellent. Yeah. Adele, anything else to add on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I want to chime in on that. This was the hardest bike trip I have ever done. Challenging, yes, mentally and physically and all that. At points, it reminded me of when I was a adventure camp counselor out in Colorado, and we would stick like middle schoolers and high schoolers into these really intense, like, not quite like life-threatening situations, but very intense situations, to sort of force them to realize what was real in life. Right. And to then we'd like debrief together and they're like, what did you learn? And so some of these days on this bike trip, I had like some of those same feelings that I had, that those kids were experiencing.
Yeah.
But this was for real, you know, like this was not set up. This was not a scenario right. that someone was setting up for us.
This
like
wasn't structured,
this was so real life. And it was like almost more like life and death. Like, yes, we need to, you know, take care of water and children and our food and all this stuff. And so I really love how it forced us to either come together or like, or fail. And I was tempted to, you know, I don't know, when Brock was leading us up that gravel road, be like, come on, Brock, didn't you look at the elevation? Like,
and
come on.
And the truth is I did not.
Right. Like, you got to do that. But I hadn't really helped plan this trip much, so I couldn't really talk. But I kind of like put a lid on that and just buckled down to the task at hand and figuring out what needed to be done. And so it was a really good maturing experience for me. You know, I love daydreaming about bike trips in Europe and New Zealand and all these cool places. And, you know, well, home could never be that cool. But the reality is Oregon has a lot of incredible things. I think being up at Crater Lake was one of the most dramatic scenes I'd ever been privy to in my whole life. And, you know, like I've seen some cool mountain ranges, but this was tops. And so just learning like, hey, sometimes the coolest things lie maybe not in my own backyard, but pretty close to it.
Right.
And just exploring what's nearby and what I don't need to take an airplane across the world to get to, or take a train across the world to get to. I can hop on my bike and go, and I can get to an amazing place just, you know, with those two wheels.
It's a good lesson for all of us.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Unless you live in New Jersey, there's probably not much there.
I mean, Manhattan.
Come on, they're the gardens.
That's right.
Sorry for anyone who lives in New Jersey.
I kid. Of course I kid. Yeah, I think it was Ben Franklin who said, if during the Revolutionary War, if we do not all hang together, we will certainly hang separately. And so, yeah, I feel like that's probably what could have happened if we had not, if we not all been thrown in the best of our emotions and goodwill and good efforts and helped each other through the hard times to get to the good times. So, well, that's the whole thing. So I'm sorry. What was that, Adam?
Well said, my friend.
Oh, thank you, sir. Well, I pride myself on my oration skills. I'm going to let you go, Adam, and we're going to close out this episode, but we do appreciate you joining us and do pass along our thanks to Jody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
All right, man. See you later on.
Bye, Adam.
Bye.
All right. Well, that, my friends, is the very end of the Sprocket podcast. We have said everything there is to say. Is there anything else we could say?
I was still trying to find out that one worker's name, the construction lady.
Oh, true enough.
I got the video, but I don't know if it's really prudent at this point.
Well, we could throw it in later if we need to. Yeah,
there you go.
All right. Well, hey, folks, the Sprocket podcast, we are here on the internet. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com, and you can find all of the exciting details about everything there. Send us feedback about the program, suggestions for topics, guests, or drinks you'd like us to try. You can write us with email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. You can call and leave us a message. Tell us your stories at 503-847-9774. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing the theme music. You can find him on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. And for all of us here at The Sprocket, I say farewell, and we will talk to you next time.